If you need to step out of the pew and go get one, then because there's one right there in front of you, and one of the pews in front or behind you, go on and grab you one. And open up to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. We're going to talk about the difference between being in or after. In or after tonight. These are Bible words, and they are helpful in understanding our relationship to the flesh and to sin. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 16. If you found it, please say amen. All right, are you with me? Oh, everybody. Does everybody found Galatians 5? Gracie, honey, do you need a Bible? Sweetheart, do you need to grab a Bible? All right, Galatians 5, verse 16. So here we go. I'm going to read the evens, and you're going to read the odds. So here we go. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come before you tonight asking for you to bless and for you to speak to us tonight. Please, God, bless those dear folks down in Sutherland, Texas, who's had a terrible tragedy today perpetrated upon them. I pray for the families tonight, God, that you would bless them. For the loved ones that passed, I pray, God, that you would do a great work in and through this terrible, evil work that has been done to that church in Sutherland. I pray, God, tonight that you would build a hedge about us and protect us. And, Father, open our hearts and our understanding, because we look to you for ultimate blessing and ultimate protection. Father, we know you love us. And Father, we pray that you would speak as only you can. And God, if there's someone among us tonight that's not saved, you know, they're here just to satisfy their family or their mom and dad or their spouse, I pray, God, that you would work in their heart and save their soul. And for us, your children, Father, show us the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking after the flesh. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I want to do a little Bible study with you tonight. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Everybody look at Galatians chapter number 5. It's an interesting section of Scripture. In verse 24, which we did not read, it says, "And they that are Christ," that means if you're saved, that word, that apostrophe is possessive. That means, "and they that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ," like 2 Chronicles 7:14, "and they that are called by my name." You are His. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, then you belong to Him. You are His. Nobody else's. "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh." Now hang on a second. We think about this a lot. I don't know. Well, frankly, I don't know how you think about that. To you right now, just think for a second. What does it mean that I belong to Jesus? There's an old hymn that we sing that most people sleep through because they don't listen to the words, and it says, "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not of the things..." I don't know the rest of it, but it's that I belong to Jesus. What does that mean to you to say, put your name in the blank? John Mix belongs to Jesus. Put your name there. I belong to Him. What does that mean? I mean, you think to yourself, well, I belong to my parents. Do you believe that? Think about it. Do you belong to your parents? I don't mean property-wise. I mean as people who love you, there is nobody who's put more investment in your life than your parents. Who else has invested so much? And to say, well, I belong to them. I belong to them. A sense of belonging isn't like this car belongs to me. It's more a sense of belonging that you're part of them. You're part of their family. You're part of their life. You, you have something beyond just personal property type relationship. It says in verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We're talking about this body that we live in. It desires things. The devil knows how to stir it up, and he'll whisper to us, and he'll get us to want things that we shouldn't want and do things that we wouldn't normally do if we really think about it. So God is saying, if we belong to Christ, then we better recognize our relationship to this flesh we live in, our relationship to him, our relationship to the world around us. You know, when I was lost and Miss Mix and I were dating, I asked her to wear my class ring. Now, maybe that's a little old school. Anybody ever do that? Everybody ever give your class ring to your girlfriend? My girlfriend never lost mine. She did not lose mine. Praise God, I lost it feeding the ducks after we were married. The thing is, but why do we give our girlfriends our class ring? It's keep the other monkeys in the zoo at school off them. That's why. Especially the bigger the ring. The bigger the ring, the scarier your boyfriend seems. That's why they do it. And she tried to take my finger. She wrapped it with dental floss and then used fingernail polish to make it. Did that ever work? You use yarn one time too. The fuzzy yarn and stuff. Why do we do that? Because it was my way of saying to everybody else, she's mine. I didn't go to her school. But the fact that she was wearing a ring that stuck up like this on her little finger said, she must be dating a gorilla. You know, that's what I wanted them to think. Why? Because I wanted everybody to know she's mine. Now, the sad thing is in our human flesh, we think, well, that person belongs to me because we're dating. No, she belonged to her daddy and to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was not mine. See, outside the bonds of marriage, she's not mine. And even now that we're married, she actually belongs to Jesus. So if Jesus takes her home, I don't have any right to be mad at Jesus because she's Jesus's. My children are mine. They belong to me. Yeah, but they really belong to Jesus. So if God takes my children home before he takes me, I don't have any right to be mad at God for it because they're really not mine. They're Jesus's. You think, well, God took my grandma. Your grandma, yeah, she belonged to you. You really more you belong to her, but she belonged to Jesus. Jesus created her. Jesus bought her back from sin and saved her soul. Jesus provided a place for her in heaven. She belonged to Jesus. Today, at 3:09 this afternoon, I got the call. My brother Bill passed away. He's dead. He's gone. But you know, he really wasn't mine. He's my brother. I love him. But he belonged to Jesus. And Jesus got to say when and where and how he left this world. See, the concept of ownership is so messed up in America today. We think, well, I own that. Well, that's mine. That person belongs to me. You're not the one who created him. You're not the one who bought back their soul from hell. You don't nobody really belongs. You belong to Jesus. You don't belong to your boyfriend. You don't belong to your girlfriend. You belong to Jesus. Now, your parents, you belong to them. Why? Because God placed you. God gave you to them as a gift, as a heritage. You belong to them. And that means something beyond a friend relationship or a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. The only thing that supersedes that relationship is marriage. She's her daddy's daughter, but now she's my wife. And that supersedes that, but she's still Jesus's. And if I remember that she belongs to Jesus, then it's gonna change the way I treat her. If you recognize that you belong to Jesus, then it ought to affect how you treat yourself and how you allow other people to treat you. Look at it now, verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Because we belong to Jesus, we need to get this flesh under control. How? We got to manage these affections. We got to decide what it is we're going to put our affection in and what desires we're going to follow after. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, that word walk means your daily lifestyle. When I get up every day, I need to remember whose it is I belong to. I belong to Jesus. He's boss. He's the one. And that ought to change the way I live. Or possibly, if you don't believe that way, and you think I'm wrong, you ought to ask yourself, do I actually belong to him? Ask yourself, do I actually belong to him? If you've never repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you don't belong to him. Oh, God created you. But you were lost to him as a member of the human race. And until you're saved, you're not his. Don't blame him for the things that goes on. You're not his. Don't blame him for the things you're not getting. Why? Because you're not his. I always say, do I spank the kids down the street? No, they're not mine. I also don't buy them Christmas presents. Why? Because they're not mine. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? If the answer is yes, well then how has that affected the way you walk? How does that come into play? Tomorrow morning when you get up, oh, actually, none of you have school tomorrow. Isn't that exciting? Come on now, you got a day off. That doesn't mean you don't got to clean your room, though. Okay, that does not mean that. You still have to clean your room. But the thing is when you go back to school on Wednesday, how does the idea that I belong to Jesus affect your day? Well, I'm just here because my parents make me, or I'm just here because I have to be here. Then you don't belong to Jesus. Not really. You belong to you. And your future destiny is your fault. Not his. I mean, let's face it, if I had decided not to get saved, who sent who to hell? Me. Because God took care of everything and said, here, you can have it as a free gift. Here, take it. Take it. No. What's God supposed to do at that point? Drill a hole in your head and pour it in? I mean, what has it got to take? What has he got to do for that to take root? I turn from my sin. At the moment I understood, I turned from my sin and I begged him to save me. And now I'm made alive in Christ. I'm separated from the power and penalty of my sin. And now I'm made alive unto Christ. I'll never be separated from him again. Not only is he my creator, he's my redeemer. And now I belong to Jesus. How does that affect the way you live? How does that affect the choices you make? I still got into trouble as a teenager, but I avoided a lot of trouble, though I really did, because I didn't want to shame my dad. I didn't want to shame my parents. My dad was well known in the community. He was on the fire department. He was on the city council. My mom was the city clerk. And I didn't get in trouble with the law because there were times when I had a choice to make and I went, if I get caught, it's going to shame my parents. So I'm just going to, no, thank you. Not that I never got into trouble, but I stayed out of a lot of trouble because I went, no, you guys go ahead. I'm not going to get caught doing that. Does it matter to you how your life reflects on him? Does it matter? See, that's the ramifications of, verse 24, and they that are Christ's. Wow, I'm not my own anymore. Yeah, I heard a verse that said that once. Didn't you, Brother John? Didn't you hear a verse that said, I'm not my own anymore? I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your soul, which is Christ. Now, when you jump back to verse number 16, it starts to make sense now. Because I belong to Jesus Christ, I'm to walk in the Spirit. That means led by the Spirit. That means I should be asking the Spirit, is this something I should be doing? Is this right? And ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, because my flesh doesn't want to do what the Spirit wants me to do. And the Holy Spirit of God does not want me to do what my flesh wants me to do, because my flesh and the Spirit are contrary. That means they fight each other. Do you have somebody at work that you just can't seem to get along with? Somebody at school that you just can't seem, man, you can't stand me around them. Why? Because they're like a cheese grater on your skin. They just take, you just go home feeling like somebody took a piece of hide off you. Man, I hate being around that person. I just can't stand being around that person. Why? Because you're contrary with that person.
That's the difference between the Holy Spirit of God that resides in your heart if you're saved and your flesh. Well, I never feel convicted. I never feel guilty. I'm never sorry for anything. Then you're not Jesus' child. You're not. Clear, plain, and straight, you're not his. You better check your salvation. Why? Because before I got saved, I didn't care what people thought. I never felt guilty. I never felt sorry. I never felt remorse. I could do whatever I want, whenever I want. I never feel terrible about it. And then I get saved, and the Holy Spirit's inside me going, that wasn't right. You shouldn't have said that. Now you need to go apologize. How does being Christ affect you? Well, it says here in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. If you're walking in the power and the control and submitted to the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You'll be saying no. Request denied. Whenever I was in the corporate world, we would want to buy something or we'd want to go somewhere to a trip, and I would write out a purchase order and it would go to the purchasing agent and they would decide whether they were going to fulfill that or whether they were going to cancel it. And there's been several times when they said request denied. If you would use that same principle, Holy Spirit, is this something I ought to be doing? Well, can you glorify God while doing it? Question one. Number two, would you like Jesus to come back and find you doing it? I remember there were times there's bunches of them where I'm always kind of checking out the window. Whenever I was going to do something I wasn't supposed to do at the house, I would always kind of check out the window to see if Mom and Dad were coming. You know what I mean? Or at Christmas time, Mom would have the jingle bell thing on the door, and it would always ring whenever somebody opened the door, and then I'd know I need to put this away because Mom saw me, she'd be mad. Right? Especially when I was eating something I wasn't supposed to be eating that she had saved for the next day. the doorbell, you hear the keys. And how do I know this is okay or not? Well, number one, can I glorify God by doing it? Number two, do I want him to come back and find me doing it? Those are two really powerful thoughts. And number three is what I'm doing, if somebody else sees it, is it going to lead them to Christ or away from Christ? These are good little indicators as to whether or not you're walking in the Spirit or after the flesh. For look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth. That means it desires to have control. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Anytime you see a capital S on the word Spirit, you're talking about the Holy Spirit that indwells you. Look at it. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It desires to have control and fights the Spirit. And the Spirit fights against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. That's talking about the condemnation for our sin. Now, verse 19, Paul wants these people to understand what it means to be in the Spirit or walking after the flesh. You can be in the Spirit, but still walk after the flesh. You can be full, you understand what I'm saying? You can be saved, but you can be submitting to the flesh and doing the carnal things of the flesh, and you shouldn't be. Look at it. Verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Now, I could read through that list, but it don't mean anything to you. So let's break it down. These are the works of the flesh. These are the things that, A, you cannot glorify God with, nor do you want to be caught doing them when God comes back. Neither are you going to be leading somebody toward Christ, but yet away from Christ if you do them. Number one, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, that's sex outside the bonds of marriage. Fornication, that's sex before marriage. That's hugging and necking and petting and making out and going, all of that. You young ladies, you don't belong to that boy. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and your daddy. And if you've got a boy who can't keep his hands to himself, you let me know and I'll go lay hands on him. That's all you got to do. We'll have a prayer meeting. Boys, these girls do not belong to you. Do not treat them like they're cheap. Keep your hands off them. They don't belong to you. They belong to their daddy and the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you. But I was 14 once. I was 16 once. You keep your hands off of them.
And girls, those boys don't belong to you. Don't jump on them. Don't run your arm around their neck and try to choke them, even though they deserve it. They don't belong to you. Sex outside of marriage is adultery, yes, but sex before marriage. We're not just talking about intercourse here. We're talking about putting your hands, kissing, hugging, necking, making out. All of that is fornication. Now, maybe you haven't got the guts to hear that at school, but I'm going to give it to you clear, plain, and straight right here at church. The three things we never talk about is sex, money, and I guess sex and money are the two big ones we're afraid to talk about. But fornication is sex outside the bonds of marriage, before marriage. Adultery is, now that you're married, any sexual act outside of your spouse is adultery. That includes porn. That includes flirting around at work. That's adultery. Talking to some ex-girlfriend on Facebook is adultery. If you get caught doing that, I'm going to come have a prayer meeting with you. Uncleanness means lewd, unchaste behavior. That's adultery in your heart, inordinate affection. Lasciviousness. Nobody used that in a sentence this week. Did anybody use that in a sentence? Did you have that in a crossword? Lasciviousness is sexual deviance. That includes same-sex attraction. That includes, you know, sex with somebody. It's deviance. Idolatry. Idolatry, you think, wait a minute, I'm 14, or I've been a Christian a while. Idolatry, that's you valuing something more than your relationship with God. Let me give an example. When I was a teenager, there were times when I would be dating a girl, and I would be willing to defy my parents' authority to be with her. That's idolatry. Anyone or anything you're willing to defy God's authority and your parents' authority is idolatry, because you have just placed them above God and your parents. That's what it really means. It's called idolatry. If you're Jesus Christ, if you belong to Jesus, it ought to affect the way you see yourself. It ought to affect people say, well, you know, I don't really like, hey, you know, it's not about what you like. It's about the fact that Jesus likes you. You are important because of who you belong to. You're important because of who was willing to give his son to die for you. That makes you so important, it's unbelievable. You can't wrap your head around how important you really are, how valuable you really are to God. So when you look at this, if you're walking in the Spirit, you can't do these things. Lasciviousness, sexual deviance, idolatry is valuing something more than your relationship with God. And you think, well, that's a boyfriend or girlfriend. No, if you're willing to sneak out and run around with your friends, that's idolatry. You've just raised them up to be more important than your parents. Witchcraft, that is sorcery, being under the influence of demonic forces. You say, well, I've never done that. Have you tried to seek power outside of God? Seeking power and knowledge outside of God is witchcraft. Hatred, that's having a great dislike. Do you see that here? Look at it now. It says hatred. That's you. You're committing murder in your mind. And Jesus said, you're guilty. Variance, that's argumentative. Let's stop right there for a second. Because you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, can you be reasoned with? Can people talk to you? Can we have a conversation without you blowing them off? Without you constantly got to be arguing about how you have to have the last word. You know what the last word was in a conversation with my dad? Ow. As I picked myself up off the ground. You learn that you don't have to have the final word. Argumentative. Emulations. That's an unhealthy desire for superiority. You got to be first. You got to be right. You got to be better than they are. You got to be so much so, you're putting other people down. Wrath, that's revengeful feelings of getting even. The willingness to allow somebody else to suffer so you can feel better. Strife, that's angry contentions. You got to be louder. Make more noise. Get pushy because you're not getting what you want. Seditions, that's raising a commotion. Heresies, teaching contrary to biblical truth. Well, I don't see what the problem is for this or that. What's the big deal? You know, God made marijuana, right? Every herb bearing seed, Brother John, isn't that what Genesis 2 says? You corrupt this body, God will destroy you. That's a promise out of Corinthians. You really are playing with your own life when you realize, I belong to Jesus. I belong to the one who died for me. I really am not mine anymore. Imagine you buy a car, and you bring that car home, but the car decides it doesn't want to stay with you. And you think to yourself, where are you going? Like Christine. You ever seen the movie Christine? That's scary. The car just drove off on its own. Well, wait a minute. I bought you. I own you. Well, I want to go where I want to go. Well, wait a minute. I own you. That's the scary part of science fiction when they talk about synthetic intelligence. What if the synthetic intelligence gets smart enough to where he doesn't want to listen anymore and obey anymore? Wait a minute. Wait a minute, what? Imagine you're in God's position. I want you to think back over the last 7 days of your life. And I want you to put yourself in Jesus Christ's position. And he is watching. You're as Jesus. If you were God and you're looking down and you're reviewing how you've lived for the past 7 days, your attitude, the way you spoke to people, the way you lived, the decisions, the things you vowed, the things you thought about. What would you do to you if you were God? Would you go, hold the phone, man. You can't talk to them like that. They belong to me. Hey, to me, wait a minute. You can't. But we forget. We belong to Jesus. We don't belong to us. We don't belong to the world. We don't belong to the devil anymore. We belong to Jesus. So look what it says here. Go back into this. It says, these are the things, the works of the flesh are manifest. So we have it says seditions, heresies. Then it says envyings, a general dissatisfaction with the way God is taking care of you. That's what you're doing. When you envy somebody at school for the way they work or the way they dress or what they have or at work, you're envying somebody. It's okay to desire for more, but when you hate them because they have it and you don't, you have just said, I'm dissatisfied with God. You're not taking care of me the way I think you should. I don't think the family I'm in is the way it should be done. I don't think it is. That's what you're saying. Now, if you were God and you were looking down at you and your attitude for the past 7 days, what would you say? What would you do? What would you think? How would you respond? And sometimes it's really good when you think about it that God didn't respond. Look what it says here in verse 21. Murders, that's premeditated killing of another human being. Drunkenness, to be overpowered with intoxication. Revelings, that's uncontrolled living like feastings and carousing and partying. And then it says, everybody, look at that next. It says, and, now say those two words out loud. And such like. What does that mean? What does such like mean? That there is even more out there that falls under these categories. Well, how do I know if they're not listed here? You belong to Jesus. No, I don't. Nope. That's just taking it too far. Then you're not his. Then you really don't understand what you were saved from. You really don't understand who he is. And you really don't understand who you are. No, I remember. Who do you belong to? See, when you walk in the Spirit because you're saved and the Holy Spirit is talking to you and you are submitting versus, I'm going to do what I want, how I want. Even if it's just between my ears, that's all. I'm going to do what I want, think what I want, say what I want because nobody else knows. Got certain news for you. God knows. Inside that little 3.5-pound virtual reality area in your body, right here, all the things goes on. It's said and done and planned and schemed and mused upon and run over in your mind. Jesus sees all that, and he holds you accountable for it. But I didn't say it. I thought it. But I didn't say it. I thought it, but I didn't do it. Wait a second. You mean Jesus gets everything else but what's right here? That's what you're saying. You can have everything else. I want to, I'll take a healthy body. I'll take a productive life. I'll take a career. I'll take all these things, but you just can't have what's here. You can have everything else. Really? Do you think that's how Jesus operates? You belong to Jesus. That means he gets to determine what your attitude is. He gets to call that into question. Just as much as he calls into question our outward behavior that everybody can see, it also gets to call into question what's up here. Look at it now. It says here, and such like. Man, you can, if you're not sure what that means, then it's anything that A, you can't bring glory to God doing. If you're doing it and it doesn't bring glory to God, you can't do it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to punch you in the face in the name of Jesus. You know, in the South, we always had this saying, bless your heart. And that somehow would take away all of the bad things you were about to say. Kind of like eating a bucket of fried chicken and having a Diet Coke. Somehow the Diet Coke canceled out all the calories from the bucket of greasy fried chicken. And as long as you said, well, bless their heart. What an ugly baby, bless their heart. You somehow took away from or de-emphasized the nasty thing you just said. Oh, what a, well, bless her heart, she's such a whore. Bless her heart. Like, and you somehow think that that covered it all up. That's not how that works. I'm going to punch you in the face in Jesus' name. To the glory of God, I'm going to tell you what I think. If you can't do it for the glory of God and in Jesus' name, I can tell you right now, you dead sure don't want him coming back and catching you doing it. See, you don't belong to you. You don't belong to you. You belong to Jesus. Now, he's placed you in the home of your family. You belong to that mom and dad. You belong to them. And they, you are in their safekeeping. And it's their job to train you and teach you. But even if they don't want to train you and teach you, God will train you and teach you. You ultimately belong to God. Because one day you will leave your parents' home and you're like, bless God, praise the Lord. Have you ever done the accounting on that? What it costs to not live in your mom's house? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? The only free place to live is behind the dumpster at McDonald's. It's the only free place to live in this world anymore. You think about what it could, God has put you in that home and in that family for you to be trained, because one day you're going to leave that home and leave that family and you're going to be on your own. And if you cannot be obedient and respectful to an authority figure like a parent that you can see and hug and talk to, how are you ever going to be obedient and respectful to an authority figure named Jesus who you can't see? How will you do that? See, if you belong to Jesus, that ought to affect a lot of things. Well, everything. Now, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, of the which I tell you before. Do you see that? Look at that. Such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you thought I was kidding. You thought when I said, if you do these things and you don't feel guilty and you don't feel, that means you don't belong to Jesus. You thought I was just being kidding. But Jesus said, those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You better check your salvation. If you don't ever feel guilty or convicted about what you think and what you say and what you do, then you've stolen the identity of Christ. Identity thief, it's billions and billion dollars worth of loss every year to consumers when somebody steals their identity and takes out a debt or a credit card and racks up bills. You don't even know you got it till they come asking for the money. Somebody has pretended to be you, stolen your identity, and got a whole bunch of debt racked up and left it for you to deal with. See, that's what happens to people who say they're Christians, but they're really not. They're just stealing someone. They're stealing the Lord's identity, racking up a debt and then expecting him to come back by and fix it. That's not how it works. You either belong to Jesus or you don't. Now look at it. It says here, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, in Corinthians, God tells us that you can come back from this. Look at 1 Corinthians. You're in Galatians. Go towards the front of the book a few pages. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. Look what it says here. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. Know ye not, this is a rhetorical question. He's not actually asking for an answer. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, and we know what those are now, idolaters, you know what that is, nor adulterers, you know what that is, nor effeminate. This is talking about the LGBT lifestyle. That's the old English word for it. Why? Because they have placed their own sexual desires, their own personal desire for self-identity, above the authority of God. That's what they've done. Do they have the same desires that we do? Sure they do. Are they just like us? Of course they are. We all have the same desires and longings that they do. They're no different than we are. People say, well, I was made this way. Yeah, but there's 100 different ways to fulfill those desires. But only one of them, God says, is righteous. You think, oh, no, that's not true. Well, then when the first case of a boy marrying his dog hits the papers, what would you think of that? Well, that's just wrong. No, that's just one more way to fulfill the desires for longings, for love, for acceptance, for companionship. You think, well, that's just stupid. I know people there was a guy who lived next door to us in El Paso that every Sunday morning he got up with a diaper and wiped down that red Chevy truck. Man, it was gorgeous. He wiped that thing down. And every Sunday morning, that's what he did. Man, he just spent hours making sure every Sunday that truck was gorgeous. There's 100 different ways to satisfy the same longings and desires that you and I were made with. But there's only one that God says is right. Now, if God would just change his mind, it'd be easier. But he hasn't. And he won't. And that's really what it comes down to. You say, well, that's different. That's different. They can't help it. If you're married in here today, and your spouse commits adultery, and then comes back and says to you, I couldn't help it, are you going to accept that as an answer? Are you going to come back and say, oh, well, that's okay. You couldn't help it. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you can. Michael Zarebski was a boy in our church. He was 16 years old in Arkansas. And Mike was dating this little girl named, and her name was Shelby, wasn't it? Or it was Shelby. I can't remember. Josh. He ain't in here. Shelby. Anyway, her name was Shelby. And they were dating. And we're like, Mike, listen, this is getting too serious. I don't think you should, you know, you probably shouldn't date her. And he's like, no, I love her and I can't help it. I fell in love with her and you can't help who you love. That's what Mike would say. And so Mike and her go, they're supposed to get together on Saturday. And Mike calls her and says, I can't come over. My mom's making me go to a family thing. And she's like, yeah, we got something going too. I can't go either. So later that day, Mike gets out of the car at the city park, walks up to the pavilion, and there she is sitting there. He's her second cousin. They've been dating all this time. Guess what? They don't date anymore. I guess you really can help and decide who it is you'll love or not. That's a true story. They weren't dating anymore after that. Crazy, isn't it? So when you ask yourself, who is it I belong to? Who is it who has the ownership papers on your soul? Who owns you? See, in marriage, when your spouse is being a jerk, does that mean you have the get out of jail free, get out of marriage free card? No, we're to endure all things. We're to love at all times. We're to believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never faileth. When your spouse gets terminally ill or debilitated chronically for the rest of your life, does that mean you get out of marriage free card? No. Because love endureth all things, and hopeth all things, and believeth all things. Why? Because you don't belong to you. You belong to Jesus. And you made a promise. Because if the tables were turned, wouldn't you want your spouse to be committed to you because they're committed to Jesus? And by the way, that's the only way marriage works. This garbage you see on TV is not real marriage. Real marriage is I'm committed to Jesus, so I am committed to her. I'm committed to Jesus, so I'm committed to her. Why? Because I'm telling you, the only reason she stays with me is because she's committed with Jesus. Because it takes love she don't got, that she has to get from God to love me and stay with me. And you're going to find that's how marriage works. Because we don't belong to us. We belong to Jesus. And because we belong to Jesus, he's the boss. Now, if you're in a relationship where you're being physically abused, you need to call your preacher and we'll go have a prayer meeting. And we'll lay hands on your spouse or on your boyfriend or girlfriend. We'll fix that problem right now. You do not have to live in a relationship where you're being physically or sexually molested. You do not have to live like that. You call me. We will get this straightened out to where you don't have to live that way. You call me. I'll fix it. It'll be a little hard, but we'll fix it. You do not have to live as a doormat or a punching bag. No one ever called you to do that. But the majority of you in here have never had that problem and will never have that problem. The problem you and I face is, who do I actually think owns me? So look at 1 Corinthians again, chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now the beautiful thing is the next verse. You say, well, that's me. I'm a sinner like that. Well, look at verse number 11. Verse number 11 says, and such were some of you. That's past tense. You used to be like that. Yeah, we're all sinners, and we can come back from that. But you're washed. You're sanctified. That means set apart. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Do you see that in verse number 11? And all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. And even though that now I can't go to hell anymore, doesn't mean that I ought to be living like I used to live. It's not a license. It's not a free pass to do what I want. Why? Because it's not expedient. So being in the flesh versus after the flesh. If you're lost and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in the flesh. You can't do anything. You can't live in the Spirit. You're lost. But if you're saved and you remember being saved, you're now in the Spirit. But you can still walk after the flesh by saying no to the Spirit and saying yes to our fleshly desires. We can do that. It's not right. But you won't do it for long without hearing the Holy Spirit just beat on your heart with conviction going, that's wrong. You know you shouldn't do that. That's bad. You should stop that. Come on now. You're grieving me. But if you live this way and you do these things and you don't hear a peep out of the Holy Spirit, it's probably because you're not His. You don't belong to Him. So go back to Galatians. And look at Galatians, and in chapter number 2 and verse 21. Actually, verse 20. Look at verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. I am dead from this world and from myself to Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this body, this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, the word frustrate means to interrupt. To interrupt. When we choose to, even though we're in the Spirit, we choose to walk after the flesh, we are frustrating what the Holy Spirit, we're interrupting what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. You know what it means to be interrupted. You're in the middle of a game and your parents call, hey, get up here, it's supper time. You're trying to find a save point. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Trying to find a save point. They are frustrating you. Why? They're interrupting you. You still need to obey immediately with a good attitude. But the thing is, when the Holy Spirit is calling you to do this, but you decide to do that because it feels better for you, You are frustrating, interrupting what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life. See, you can be saved in and be in the Spirit, but if you walk after the flesh, you frustrate what God's trying to do in your life. You stop all growth. You stop all reception of blessing. You stop all reception of prayer. You mess it all up. You stop it. You've shut it off. You've grieved Him. Now, it says in Romans 8, 1, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you are in the Spirit of God because you're saved and He has indwelt you. But you, instead of walking after the flesh, you walk after the Spirit. It tells you to be sweet when you want to be mad. It tells you to be gentle when you want to be harsh. It tells you to be kind when you want to be selfish. And instead of walking after the flesh, you say, yes, Holy Spirit, I'll be gentle. Yes, I'll be kind. Yes, I'll be respectful. Yes, I'll be obedient. That's walking after the Spirit. See, you can be in the Spirit, but walking after the flesh by letting the flesh to make all the choices for you. Romans 8, 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. See, salvation doesn't mean that everything's just going to be perfect in your life. Salvation means you now have a choice. Where before you were in the flesh, walking after the flesh, and no matter how good you tried to do, you always fell back to it. But as a Christian, now that you're in the Spirit, you have a choice to walk after the Spirit. How many of you got a dog? How many of you ever had a dog that got sick and threw up? How many of you ever had a dog that got sick, threw up, and before you get to him, started licking it back up again? Isn't that nasty? That is just rancid nastiness. But see, when you and I are saved, and we're in the Spirit, we've been saved from those, from the penalty, and we're even been offered the power of God to be free from the power of sin. But when we're in the Spirit, but turn back to walk after the flesh, it's like you're licking up your vomit again. Like a dog returning to its vomit, the Bible says. That's what it's like. When you walk after the flesh, when the Spirit says be kind and you decide to be selfish, I want you to picture you puking and licking it back up again. Because that's what it is from God's point of view. Like a dog returns to its vomit, so does the fool to his folly. You've been saved from this mess. You've been saved from all this garbage. God has separated you from it. And now you're in the Spirit. He wants you to walk after the Spirit. But every time you turn back to walk after the flesh, the things that you know are contrary to the flesh. We read them earlier on. We read them. It was adultery, fornication, uncleanness. That's being lewd or unchaste. That's dirty jokes. That's foul language. That's sexual innuendo. Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, being argumentative, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. You are returning to the vomit, the filth that God has pulled you from. That's what you're doing. Are you in the Spirit or are you in the flesh? Are you saved or are you lost tonight? You can be saved tonight if you're not saved. You really can. You can be free from all that. Well, I already told my parents I was, and I was already baptized, and I'd have to admit I was faking it. I'd rather go to heaven telling somebody, well, at first I thought it was, but now I'm saved, than go to hell and go, I just didn't want to be a hypocrite. What? That's foolish. That's dumb. The only person who wins is the devil. It's the only person who wins in that argument. And you frustrate, you interrupt what God is doing. So the question is tonight, are you in the Spirit or are you in the flesh? Do you belong to Jesus or do you belong to you? Only one leads to heaven. Only one. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. See, there's no such thing as good flesh. There really is. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Father, things are not always as we think they're going to be. I ask, Father, tonight that you would speak. Father, we're thankful for how clear and plain and straight your Bible is. How that there is just no deviating. We know what it is you believe and what it is you think. And Father, tonight, help us to change our attitude. Help us to see ourselves as belonging to you. If there's someone here tonight who's not saved, if you see somebody here tonight that, Father, that has never trusted Christ, they're just playing the game. I ask, Father, you'd convince them of their need of a Savior. Give them the courage to step beyond the edge of the pew and to come and be saved. Father, tonight for us, your children, those that are saved, God, those that are in the Spirit, Father, please show us where we need to turn back and walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix plays, every head bowed, every eye closed, listen, maybe tonight you're saved and the Holy Spirit started talking to you. Is there somebody you need to go apologize to? Is there a parent that needs to hear you say you were sorry because they were right and you were wrong? Does the Lord need to hear you say, I'm sorry? That was me. He mentioned me in those statements. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. You can make it right tonight and walk out of here with a clear conscience. You sure can. Won't you come and speak to the Lord? Won't you come?
Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine, 'cause love can heal what hurt divides and mercy's waiting.
Who is it you belong to? Who are you? Are you God's?
If we're honest,
you belong to yourself, which means you belong to Satan.
If we're honest,
you're his by default if you're not God's.
Don't pretend
I don't
be
see it that way.
Something that you're not.
I didn't write it.
Living life,
trust me,
afraid
you'll
of
never regret
caught.
Choosing to walk after the Spirit. You'll
There's
never regret it.
There'll
never come a time in your life, I promise you, on the authority of Scripture tonight, there'll never be a time when you say yes to the leading of the Holy Spirit and you end up regretting it.
So bring
because there is no secondary right. There's just right.
I'll bring mine, 'cause love can heal what
won't you come, please?
Divides, and mercy's waiting on.
Are you saved?
The other side.
Are you saved? When did you get saved? Well, my mama said I was 8. No. This has got to be something you did, something you remember. Do you remember when it happened? Do you remember how it happened?
So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine.
There's nothing you've done that's any worse than anybody else's, but it still needs to be made right. So come, talk to the Lord. I'm telling you, you'll stand up and be clean. You will, if you'll come.
If we're honest,
you've been saved, but have you been baptized? You know you've given your heart to the Lord, the best of your ability. You remember doing it. You know, you don't have to understand all there is to know about it, but you remember giving your heart to the Lord, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But have you come forward and said, I need to be baptized. I need to identify with Christ. It's the first act of obedience for a Christian. We're to publicly identify with him. Have you ever done that? Well, then you need to come forward. That young lady who got baptized this morning, she was saved. She knew it, but she never obeyed the Great Commission. The second step, which was to come and to publicly say, I'm Christ's. I'm Christ. Will you do that?
Everyone has a heart that
will you come forward and just say, I belong to Jesus? I'll identify with him. I'm not ashamed of him. Are you ashamed of Jesus?
I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do.
Now listen, if you just had a thought, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you just had a thought that said, well, if I come forward, then I'll have to stop being angry, and I don't want to be angry. Listen, that was not from God. What you just heard was the voice of the devil. I know it sounded like your voice, but that's just how good a liar the devil is. That wasn't God who said that to you. Because you think thoughts all the time. You choose them. And you let that one run through your mind instead of casting it down. Well, if I get saved, well then, I'll have to change the way I behave. And I don't want to. Okay, that didn't come from God. That didn't come from God. If I get saved, then if I come forward, and I know I'm saved, preacher, but if I come forward and I make things right with God, then I'm going to have to change. Listen, you need God to empower you to do that, to change. Won't you come? That wasn't the voice of the Lord telling you not to come. It was Satan using your own voice doing it. Cast it aside. Stop being his puppet. Are you done being played? Aren't you just done being played?
If we're honest,
come belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know you're saved, well then come and just give yourself honest, back to him. And say, I'm tired of playing, being my own person, my own God. My own God. I want to come back to you. And give you myself. I'm just going to give you myself again.
Love can come. Heal what hurt divides and is waiting on the other side.
Amen. Miss Rochelle. Some have come. How about you? Will you be honest with God tonight? Who do you actually belong to?
If we're honest. Don't pretend to be something that you're not.
Living. Is church just something you do to keep mom off your back? Caught. It's not
there
who you are.
Freedom found when we lay.
You know how to fix that. Come on.
At the cross.
Won't you lay it down right here? Give yourself to Jesus Christ afresh and anew. I'm yours. Won't you just say that? I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. I'm sorry for the times I've taken myself back. I'm yours. You know you can't lose your salvation. I know that. But there's days when you take over and you sit on the throne, and it really ought to be him. Won't you come? Put Jesus back on the throne.
If we're honest, if we're honest.
When's the last time you had a conversation with your parents that wasn't with an attitude? What was the last time you had a conversation where it didn't involve you having to have the last word? What was the last conversation you had that didn't require you raising your voice? Who has more invested in you than your parents and Jesus? Who loves you more than Jesus and your parents?
If we're honest. If we're honest.
As we tarry for these, there's still time for you. Are you Christ's? Are you you Christ's? Really?
Truth is harder than a lie.
Based on the things you thought today, are you Christ's?
Dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide.
What is it that you're hiding?
I'm a mess and so are you.
What is it that you hope won't come out?
Nobody can.
What is it that you don't want to admit to?
Yeah, it may be hard, but the best
it's a burden to carry that mess.
Could ever do.
You need to give that up.
Ever
just come
do.
Clean. You weren't meant
bring
to carry that.
Brokenness, and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what
if the last conversation you had with your parents was the last conversation you ever had. Are you happy that it ended that way? Are you satisfied that those were the last words you uttered to their face? Are you satisfied? You ready to go to heaven with it, that being it?
Don't pretend to be something that you're not.
The last thing I said to my brother when I saw him was, I love you.
Because
I had a feeling it was going to be the last time.
There is freedom.
I was privileged enough to know it was the last time.
Lay our secrets.
What if the last conversation you had with your spouse or with your parents was indeed the last? You ready for that to be the last? Is that how you want to leave it with them?
Can heal what hurt divides, and mercy.
Maybe you need to make a phone call tonight. Maybe you need to pull them aside. And just be honest.
If we're honest. If we're honest.
Our Father and our God, we love you. And we are so privileged to be referred to as yours. And God, it is so wonderful to know that we're yours. And Father, we're thankful, Father, that now we are free from the penalty of sin. And we have a choice now. We have a choice where we didn't before. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for freeing us. And tonight, as we go from this place, it is our desire to make the choice to follow the Spirit. Forgive us of our sin, our anger, our frustration, how we have frustrated the Spirit's work. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would begin anew and afresh in our life. Glorify yourself, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way tonight.